Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing down-to-earth conversations about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, life and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. And together with my girls, Alicia and Natira, we'll be discussing everything from situations to situationships and the challenges women face every day as we navigate this thing called life.
So, anyway,
we are
back to insecurity.
That's right. Yeah, let's do that. Get on my nerves. Anyway, so we are recording. We are back. Welcome back to another episode. Natira, you got me upset.
I'm so sorry. I'm just having fun. That was the funniest thing.
No.
And no. I apologize, because it's really not funny.
It ain't funny.
But I don't think you are. If you say you're not, you would know. I would think. Yeah. Because we're just having fun. Just let, don't get all overly concerned about it.
Girl. She not. Alicia, with friends like this.
I love her. I love her so much. We've been friends since 12 years old. She know I love her. I don't wish no ill will. She means goodness and happiness and greatness around her and in her life.
Well, right now
it's not a baby.
No, it is not.
It's not at all.
COVID. It is COVID. It ain't COVID. It's COVID-19.
It's COVID-19. That's it. And, right. But you still need to go to the doctor. Now, don't be playing around with that, though.
Yeah, I'm a check. I'm a check.
Your thyroid and all that. We got to make sure you...
I'm a
good. Your heart is good. Everything's good.
Speaking of good,
wait, let me tell you this one thing before you record.
I'm recording.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to stop. I'm sorry.
You know what? Where's your husband?
He sleeps. I love y'all. Please just bear with me. I'm sorry. I digress. I'm gonna go back on topic.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
You about to be on punishment.
I apologize. Sure.
I have had it.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Between a Talk and a Hard Place. Y'all, if y'all could have heard the mess that was going on behind the scenes, how I was being attacked. I don't know how much more of this I can take. But they over here, these girls over here messing with my ovaries. We can't do this. We not having this conversation.
I was not messing with your ovaries. Your husband was. We got to clarify that. I wasn't messing with it. He was messing with it. That's what happens when you have sex.
Just for some background information. So, you know, I decided that I would share with the ladies that since being diagnosed with COVID, I had not had a period, which is normal when you have been diagnosed with COVID-19. And one Miss Natira King, is it Natira King? I don't even know who you are anymore, man. I don't even know who you are anymore. She is just gung-ho on another little human being coming out of me, and it's just not going to happen.
I would take that baby, y'all. Y'all don't understand. That'd be my baby.
Listen, you can take it. Like I said before, I will slap some stamps on his forehead and ship
I'll be right
it
there. Push.
On a FedEx. No, ma'am.
Okay.
So on that note, we going to get into today's topic. And I wanted to start off with a quote. I read a quote that is so fitting. It says, "One of the greatest journeys in life is overcoming insecurity and learning to truly not give a shit." And that's a quote from author J.A. Conrath. And I think it's one that we all should embrace because we all have.
Again? I'm sorry, that's a good quote. I need to hear that again. That's a good one right there. Say that again.
Okay. "One of the greatest journeys in life is overcoming insecurity and learning to truly not give a shit." And it's true. It's so true. So it's normal to have a little self-doubt and personalized fears. But what happens when it starts interfering with our daily life activities? So today, and Tira, I'm still laughing and I can't stand you. You get on my nerves. So today we're going to be talking about our insecurities. I might have to mute Natira's mic a minute, but we're going to be talking about insecurities. I don't even think I want her to be a part of this episode, but let's see how this goes. So, insecurities. What are your thoughts? Who's up first?
I'll say I feel like insecurities, they happen, I think, at first in childhood, and I believe it's not so much a result of like how your parents condition you, that's more of a result of peer influence, because I would say growing up, my parents were always, complimentary. And if, something happened, they would say, hey, you need to work on this. But they were never like, well, you should work on looking better. You should work on sounding a certain way. They weren't like that. But it wasn't until I got to a certain age in school, I guess I'd say middle school, that mm-hmm. I feel like my insecurities kind of were preyed upon by my classmates. So like some of my classmates would accuse me of talking white, which to me makes no sense. You can't, if you speak proper English, you're not talking white, you're just using proper English. Right. But they would prey on that. And then in a lot of cases, some people would, kind of tease me for my voice. And as a result, I just kind of felt uncomfortable. Right. And I feel like the way that I dealt with it at the time, I was trying to take my mom's advice. She would always say, ignore people, but I don't think that's always the right course of action, because even though you might ignore them outwardly, you still don't know what they've said has gotten to you. So I think for me, overcoming my insecurities has just been more of a journey of realizing that I have control over what I can and cannot do, and I can't just let a small group's sentiment toward whatever they think is wrong with me dictate the rest of my life. So it's a process, but I would say at this point, I don't feel like my insecurities weigh on me the same way they did when I was growing up. Not to say that they don't come up in the back of my mind, especially, when big moments still happen, like for a job interview. But, the way I've dealt with it is just to kind of play the scenario in my head to figure out how I will respond if I feel like I tense up or I just don't feel comfortable. And that's helped a lot.
Right. And just to put it out there, kids are brutal. Kids can be so cruel.
Oh, my gosh.
And I can understand how you were raised at home with your parents, how they were uplifting you and encouraging you, could clash with this new environment that you, for years to come, would be spending more time in than you would in the encouraging, uplifting environment.
Yeah.
But I think it, and like you said, to your point, for me, it's that quote you just said from J.A.
Conrad.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a home where my mother, I think mothers have a huge impact on their daughter's security. And my mother was such a confident, secure person. She was the person that didn't give a shit. I mean, she really didn't. And so it instilled in me a confidence that superseded what the children were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. I had difficulty managing in an environment where children are being mean, they're being brutal, they're picking on you, they're teasing you, they want to fight you, all those things. There was difficulty. But for me, I felt secure because my mom was so secure in herself.
Right.
And I think that you can't hide it. Children know, and they can see, and they can sense. And so if you don't have that level of security within yourself, you don't even have to say it. Your children know it, and they feel it. And they it may have a bigger impact on how they navigate through those difficult situations with other children who right. are trying to diminish and demean them.
Right, but then it's not only as children, it follows mm-hmm. you well into adulthood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some characteristics that some people who have insecurities, they tend to not believe that they're good enough. They mm-hmm. can always be fearful of being judged. They worry constantly about what other people think of them. So everything they do is based on how they perceive someone, how they think someone else is going to perceive them. And that's just not the way to live.
Not at all. But it's hard to not. I mean, the thing is, you grow up with this sense of, you know, what is the other person going to think? Or how is this person going to think? How do we stop that from being a reality? I think as you get older, it becomes less of a reality. You're like, I don't give a shit. Listen, love it, like it, whatever. You know, it becomes less because you've just gotten over it at a certain point. But I think in your young adulthood, it's a major thing.
Yeah. I think especially for women, one of the issues is that we're conditioned from a young age to be more of complimentary type of person. So like, for instance, I wouldn't say my mom did this, but I know a lot of moms are like, well, you know, if you plan to get married someday, you need to focus on looking a certain way and making sure you have great skills as a cook. And, you know, men don't want this, or men don't want that. Like, I have a friend who told me that her mom would constantly instill in her about staying a certain weight to keep a man, and as a result it kind of gave her issues as far as body image, and that's really that is very hard to shape. And I feel like the more parents are aware of how they kind of condition their kids to think about themselves, the better off insecurities won't play as large of a role. Not to say that they won't play a role at all, because like we were saying earlier, you can have a good home foundation but still go into school and deal with the issues. But if you know your parents are giving you at least enough encouragement to say, hey, you're good enough, you don't have to fit into a certain mold, that at least gives you enough insight to know that you know what other people in school are saying is kind of bogus, if that makes sense.
It does.
And do you think that the weight thing was something that is common? Do you think that's a common place situation?
I think it is. I think if I really just think about not only what I've heard from friends, but just like comments I would hear growing up, like, by the time I got to high school, I'd started to gain weight. And I remember one time I was at a family retreat with several family members, and one male relative was like, you picked up some weight, didn't you? And I was like, I forgot what I said. I made a smart aleck comment, because at the time I was just really annoyed. I was like, why is he, of all people, focusing on my weight? When he could be like, well, how are you doing in school or something like that? Like, what business was it of his to talk about my weight? Just because since last time we saw each other, I had gained weight, I don't think that was his place to comment. But I feel like in a lot of families, some people, they have no concept of not having a filter, but just being sensitive. Like, why would you talk to a teenage girl about her weight that way? Like, that's just wrong. And I think the more people confront how they deal with certain people, especially like we were saying, young adults and teenagers, mm-hmm. I think the more aware you become of like how you need to talk about certain things. And I definitely think the issue with weight, you shouldn't be talking to people about their weight. That's their business. The only person who has absolute, I would say, authority to get on you about your weight is probably your doctor. And even at times, they can be wrong about it. So.
And I think, my gosh, I don't even know how far back, but a woman's body image has always been the center of attention. If you think to years and years ago, when women used to wear those really tight corsets so they can have that hourglass shape. I mean, they were literally squeezing their organs on the inside just to have this shape so they can be, I'm assuming, appealing. They can look appealing to men, or I mean, I don't understand the concept of it. But then you're hearing me talk as a bigger woman. I'm not small. The last time I tried to wear a girdle, I just applaud anybody who can even put one of those things on. I can't breathe regular. So to put on a girdle and I can't do it. This is what I look like. This is how I look when I'm sitting up. This is how I look when I'm laying down. If you like it, I love it. Listen, I can't go through all of that. Now, that's not to say that growing up, because I've always been on the bigger side. So growing up, I always felt self-conscious about my weight. And not necessarily and it wasn't necessarily because anyone said anything. I have to admit that I had some great friends. And no one ever said anything about my weight to me. So right. I don't really maybe it was just something that, because I looked so much more different than they did. I never had to fit in.
Self-conscious about my weight until I see a picture. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me I was that fat? Because to me, I have reverse anorexia. When I look in the mirror, I see somebody small. So it's not that I see a picture. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't know I was that big. I really did. So,
oh my God.
And it's funny, for me, my mother was big. A lot of other people's mothers was big growing up. To me, being big was a sign of, to me, in my mind, a sign of importance. Oprah Winfrey was on TV and she was a big lady. She wasn't no skinny mini. You know, to me, that was just how Black women was. They're curvy, curvaceous, they're big, they're small, they come in different shapes and sizes. So I think for me, I didn't appreciate it as much as I should have, because no one ever made it a thing for me.
Right.
Nobody ever made any comments about it. I just thought it was normal. And then being with a man who thinks it's normal too, that doesn't help.
Well, it is normal. That's your normal.
Insecurities about those types of things. I have more insecurities about my hair. You know, is it too nappy? Is it too straight? Is it, you know, does it look presentable? Do I look too old? Do I look too young? You know.
But these insecurities that we're talking about are all based on what society is considering normal. And what society considers normal doesn't necessarily include someone that is not a white, blonde, brunette, or even a redhead, and really slim. Even when you go clothes shopping, and this kills me because I have to get plus size. So when I go to a store and I see something that says plus size, I'm expecting it to be, if it's a extra large or a 1X or whatever, I'm expecting to get a 1X. I'm not expecting to get a tag medium that says 1X and then the actual size is like a large or a medium. Because they're basing these measurements on white and Asian women, especially Asian women, because they're always usually so petite. But it doesn't include us. So when we're looking at TV and when we see women who look the part, then it kind of makes us look at ourselves like, why the hell are we so different? And how can we fix it?
No.
Mother, well,
I'm like the cup thing. I don't give a... If you don't like it, fine. That's fine. You ain't got to enjoy it. Somebody will.
Somebody will. But that's the mindset we need.
It has to get to... You have to get to that point. That's not something that's innate that you're just born with, that you're just going to have, right? Because you're navigating through all of these images and what people say and what people see and what people... For me, my mother had the biggest influence. So for me, I try to do the same with my daughter.
Right.
What do you think? Because she has these insecurities too, but I'm seeing her grow and blossom as a person.
Right.
To say that these things are really not that important. Well, what do you think? I always come back to her. Okay, well, I know what they said, but what do you think?
Right.
You think, do you believe what they said? Do you believe that that's the truth? Or do you believe that's something that is untrue? I said, because, you know, all these people talking about your weight. I said, you could lose weight, but ugly's ugly. You can't fix it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's
so I'm trying to build her up to think, you know, this is, if they are concerned about your weight, you know, you're still a beautiful person. And if you are concerned about your weight, you could do something to change that, but it's not something that's important to me.
Right.
As long as you're healthy and happy and I'm fine with it. You know, so I'm trying to encourage her to have that narrative that she don't care what other people think.
Right.
And it's hard when you're in school because you're around these people all the time.
All the time.
And they have such a big influence on your life.
Yeah, it's everywhere. When you turn on the TV, when you turn on the radio, you listen to the lyrics of these songs. Mm-hmm. It's hard to accept yourself when you look so different than what is portrayed as desirable. Because at some point, you want to be desirable. You want someone to look at you and love you. But ultimately, that really has to start from within. Because and I have to commend Natira, because Natira, when I tell you Natira is how I used to look at Natira, like, this girl here is so stuck up. When I first met Natira, like, I was like, this chick... Look at this chick. You couldn't tell her nothing. And I learned to love that about her. And it turned into, God, I wish I could be like Natira. Because Natira would walk. Natira wouldn't care. She ain't give a shit.
I didn't care.
You didn't like
I did. That quote was me. I don't care. Listen, you don't have to enjoy this. It's fine. But because for me, the thing is, and I think the bottom line that people have to get to, period. You cannot escape who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are who you are. So you might as well embrace it, love it.
Yeah.
If there's necessary changes that need to be made, make those necessary changes. And if not, be content at any state that you find yourself in. And it's easier said than done. And I think for me especially, I'm a very ambitious person. My identity is around the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I find myself in a situation or on a job where I feel that I'm being diminished, it's very difficult for me to navigate in that space because I feel like my confidence is being chipped away.
Right.
I'm not interested in sharpening my weaknesses.
Right.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in sharpening my strengths and getting those together. Because you just waste time now trying to work on something that you're just really not good at.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you don't like Excel and pivot tables and numbers, why are you doing an accounting job? Like, that just you have to match up what works for you so that you don't feel those insecurities.
Right.
I know it's more difficult in a relationship because people have their expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's difficult when someone is expecting, you know, A of you and you can only give them B.
Mm-hmm.
That's where communication comes into play, and what they deem as important may not be what you deem as important.
Right.
And so that can try to diminish and weaken your security in yourself. I think self-esteem is so important. I mean, to me, it's the most important thing because it's you.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't escape yourself. You can't. So no. Love yourself. Mm-hmm. Take the proper care of yourself, you know, and believe in your abilities and capabilities. I think we need more of that. We need more mentors. We need more mothers. We need more women to support one another.
And as what they're as trying we to, are.
As you are, not mm-hmm. trying to change who you are.
Yeah.
And I think Black people have come a long way with that. When, I mean, we're wearing our hair more natural. Mm-hmm. We're showing up how we are. You know, we're making no excuses. But that still is new to me. To see a show on TV called Insecurity with a Black woman. I mean, I was just blown away by that. I don't watch the show, but I was just blown away. By
Insecure is a good show.
Insecure, yeah. Insecure.
I love it's the a, fact it's that they so have it,
yes, a show that talks about that subject. It blew me away. It really did, because we don't talk about those things. We try to hush those things under the rug, and we shouldn't.
Yeah. I think we paint these pictures or we see these portraits and we try to paint ourselves into them when we really, really don't belong. And no. Just to backtrack when it comes to relationships, some people think that their insecurities are formed when they're in a relationship. You bring your insecurities with you wherever you go. Now, there could be a triggering moment that will highlight one particular insecurity, but your insecurity was there before you ever started that relationship. Your insecurity was there before you ever started a friendship. So it all starts with self. Yeah. People need to understand their value. They need to take the time to learn about who they are, what they want, all of these things, and move away from the comparison, embracing who they are and accepting who they are, moving away from the comparison and trying to change
relationships that amplify those insecurities. If you're in a relationship, regardless of whether it's work, family, home, if these relationships diminish you as a person, then you need to do some reevaluation.
So when someone has when someone goes into a relationship with insecurities and they're being further demeaned, they're not going to see that as being a negative to them. Their insecurity is telling them that there's something wrong with them. So they're going to work harder to try to please this person who is not valuing them because they don't know their own value. They're constantly thinking that it's them. So before they even get into that relationship, they need to understand who they are, what they're carrying around with them on the inside, so that they'll be able to navigate what a relationship brings. And hopefully, obviously, they would not want that type of situation. But until they get until they get it right, until they understand what it is that they're walking around with, what they got in their bag, it doesn't matter. Whatever relationship they go in, they're going to get the same results. Yeah. That's what they're going to be attracted to.
But it's a tough one to really recognize what that is. Because sometimes even in any relationship, I'm like, oh, that was my baggage talk. Mm-hmm. You know, this really wasn't the person and what they did, because they really didn't do anything majorly wrong. Mm-hmm. But my baggage from what happened before.
Right.
Sparked mm-hmm. a thought process or something in my mind that really wasn't true. But because of my baggage, I'm now bringing that into this reality. Yeah. And it's hard to recognize that. But when you do, it's for the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So ladies, I mean, for me, I don't have a lot of insecurities, some things, but not a lot. But I try to recognize what they are and do something about them if it's something that should or could be done about. You know, I'm never going to get any taller. So I'm sure about being short. You got to deal with that, because that's just not going to change. So there's just certain things you got to understand about yourself that that's just what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And if we could all come to that reality and support one another, I think it would be a much better place.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to decide that you're going to change everything around you. Sometimes it's not, sometimes you can't change what's going on within you because everything that you have everything that you've built around you, from people to places that you frequent, it keeps drawing you into that negative, the negative self-talk, that inner monologue that's telling you that you're not going to be enough. You can't do this. You can't. The people that are around you, sometimes if you look at the people that you spend the most time with, you behave in a way that they behave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not always beneficial to who you really are.
Right. I think every adult person should move away at some point in their adulthood from where they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because number one, it teaches you your ability. There is no mama, cousin, family, you know, the team there.
Right.
It's you now. You in a new state. You in a new place. Right. You got to figure some things out. And it will show and prove to you your value, your worth, and what you can and cannot do. I always encourage people, young people, move away. You have to move away from your family to know who you are.
Look,
and you can always come back.
When we first moved,
there, you come back.
When we first moved down here to North Carolina, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she had to have her Jordans. Like everything was Jordans, because you know, in New York, all the kids, no matter how poor they were walking around in one pair of Jordans or another. So she needed Jordans. She had to have Jordans. And when we moved down here to North Carolina, I came down first, and I'm looking at how the kids are dressed. I'm like, okay, they were dressed decent, but their focus, from what I saw, their focus really wasn't on all this name brand stuff, you know? So I told my daughter, she was like, oh my, I gotta get new sneakers. I gotta get. So I'm like, okay, why don't you get the cheaper pair of sneakers? Like, we just moved. So why don't you get something cheaper so we could eat tomorrow? So she's wanting this. I'm like, Aisha, you're in a new place. Nobody knows you. Bring your own style. Start create your own path. I mean, she ain't listen, but you can start new. You don't have no one here to impress. Be you.
When she went to school, did she come back and say they was Bama?
She said, mommy, people have no style.
None. It's different. Let me tell you something. It is totally different from you. When you grow up in New York City to go anywhere else, it's just different.
Yes.
They don't have the same. New York is all about fashion and what you got on and what kind of shoes you got on. Not down south. They don't care.
They don't care. And that's what
no shoes, no shirt, no problem. They don't care.
I was like, don't come to a new place. Because she was getting into her little issues in New York, and I felt like we all needed that change. But you can't come to a new place bringing your old mess and expecting to get new results. That's not going to work.
Right.
So you have to look at you. You have to be willing to see you for who you are. And that's hard. It is, like you said, Natira, it's hard to do because nobody wants to see the ugly in themselves. Nobody wants to acknowledge that, but that's what you have to do in order to move forward, if you want to move forward in a healthy manner.
Yeah, if you do a self-assessment, it's going to hurt. And if it hurts, you can't do it right.
Yeah.
You did not assess.
Yep,
and there's some things I know for me I'm just stubborn about. And I shouldn't be. I just shouldn't be this stubborn about this topic and this subject. You know, I want somebody to help me. There is no savior coming. You have to decide and do this. That you're going to do it or not.
Yeah.
You know, it people can help you, but so far, but you have to make the decision of what is it worth to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and it's, and it hurts, right? Because you want somebody to just come help you. But, you know, sometimes you have to make the choice and the decision to walk away, to start a program, to make these necessary changes. But when you do those, when you come out on the other side and you see the progress and where you come from and what you accomplished, oh my God, it feels so much better than someone helping me. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went back to school to get my degree, my mother didn't help me. When I went the first time, I was on a fast for trying to figure all that out. But when I went back, it meant so much more because I paid for that.
Right.
And I did the work. Nobody did that. I did that. And so when I look at this diploma, it gives me a sense of pride that I wouldn't have if my parents had paid for it.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And not that that's bad. I'm not saying parents don't pay for your kids' school. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying when you pay, it has a more sense of pride. When you do accomplish something, you have a more sense of pride to it. Mm-hmm. And I wish all of the women around the world, everyone I know, would have that confidence within themselves to know that they can accomplish, do all things.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So how do you think, what are some things that you think women can do? I want to say teens, but this is unfortunately not just a teen issue. There are grown women who are struggling. And they know they're struggling, but they don't hold themselves accountable for making the changes that they need to make. So if you can give someone one piece of advice on something that they should do to start making the changing their mindset, doing something that is going to move them from an unhealthy state with themselves to a healthy state, what would you encourage them to do?
I would say sometimes you, at least for me, I want to use a personal experience as a point. So like y'all know, my dad passed earlier this year, and one thing he would say to me when we'd end all of our conversations was, take care of myself. And, you know, after he passed, I would think about that statement a lot, because my dad would say things, but he wasn't like a super mushy person. Mm-hmm. But when I thought about what he said, he was telling me to take care of myself, because I think he knew, like, once he's gone, once my mom's gone, no one is going to be there for me as well as I'm there for myself. Mm-hmm. So for me, I kind of took that as a challenge. So with this year being so unpredictable and crazy, I was like, well, I want to do something that's going to take care of myself that I can easily control. So I decided to start exercising. And I hate exercising. It's not my favorite thing to do. But after I do it, I feel better about myself. I feel accomplished, no matter what else happened that day. So my challenge has been, after I finish work on the work day, like, okay, I'm not going to sit down until I at least do some sort of work. So what I've been doing is getting on YouTube, finding a 30-minute video, exercising. And I can say for that day or that time, I've taken care of myself. So I feel like I'm living up to what my dad would tell me. So that's helped me. But just practically speaking, what's the one little thing you can do in a day that's going to make you feel a little bit better? And for me, it was just doing that. But for someone else, it might be, you know, putting on a nice outfit, even though you're home most of the time, or cooking yourself a good meal. What's the one little thing you can do for yourself that's going to make you feel better? And just start with that. And you might not do it every day. You might not do it as often as you want. But just starting with it is a lot better than thinking about, well, I should be doing this. So that's how I approached it.
Gotcha. I like that. That's a very good idea.
Yep.
Let me sit down until you exercise.
What about you, Natera?
Well, I have two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think every woman needs to find something that she enjoys that's just her thing. Mm-hmm. Whether it's reading a book or going to a play or crocheting or knitting or whatever it is that brings you joy when you do it, you need to find what that is. That doesn't include another person.
Right.
You know, because then you can get addictive habits. So find something that's healthy, that's just you, something that you enjoy doing. Especially if you're someone who's good with your hands, just find something that you enjoy doing and make sure that you do that. And the second thing that I would encourage all women to do, if they have the courage to do it, is I want you to get in the mirror totally butt naked and look in that mirror and tell yourself that you're beautiful and that you're worth it.
Absolutely.
Not look in the mirror critiquing and, you know, I got a roll here and a dimple and none of that. Stand in that mirror and you tell yourself that you're beautiful and you're worth it.
Yeah.
And say it till you believe it.
Yeah.
Until it becomes a mantra, a banner, a statement.
And I think in that aspect, affirmations may help for some people to challenge the negative thoughts that they have about themselves. So I love that idea, Natira. I don't want to see myself naked in the mirror on any given day because I know what I look like. I know what I look like. I see it. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
That's you.
I love it. He sure does. He sure does. We're not gonna get on. I'm not even gonna go there with you, Natira, because I know okay, where that's, I know where saying. That's headed.
I'm just saying for yourself. You know, other people can appreciate, but as a woman, do you appreciate your own body?
Yes,
I look at them stretch marks. That's my badge of honor. I was a mother.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I don't like them, but that's my badge of honor right there. I gave life into this world. You know, I want women to be that comfortable. Right. Where they're not, you know, oh, this is too flabby, or this is, you know, just love this skin
just
that you're
love
in.
What you're seeing right there. Accept
what you're seeing right there.
Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do. Embrace it. Because that is who you are. Yeah. That's who you are in that moment. And you need to accept it. So, what I would want someone to do, first, they need to find their happy. They need to figure out what makes them happy versus what makes them not so happy, right? When they know that, then they need to look at the people they have around them. And I talk about that a lot because sometimes people think they need people. They need things from people when in reality they actually need it from themselves. Mm-hmm. So once they know what makes them happy, once they find they're happy, they can look at the people who are around them and figure out who is not catering to that happiness. They can decide how they feel when they're with that person. Does that feeling cater to their happiness? And if not, they don't need to be there. They don't need to be around that person. And it doesn't have to be hard feelings. It doesn't have to be hard feelings at all. You just have to want to do what's best for you. Not give a shit. Just like that quote said, you just gotta not give a shit. It doesn't have to be hurtful. You know, you could be classy with it, but you also need to take care of yourself.
Right.
You gotta put your needs first. And if they're not stroking that happy feel good button of yours, why would you want to be around them? Why continue to try to change yourself to fit into a situation that doesn't make you feel good? Just to fit in with someone else.
Right.
So that's what I think people need to find. They're happy, and focus on that happy, and get rid of all that extra stuff.
Get rid of it, girls. don't spend too much time working on them weaknesses. Just let that go. I'm not gonna be good at that. Let me see what I'm good at and focus on that.
Yeah, I like that statement. You don't want to sharpen your weaknesses, and no. that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah. I was on a job. The girl says this to me. I never forget Maddie. I love her because sometimes people give you nuggets that you needed when you needed it. Mm-hmm. She did that. She said, "Natalia, we cannot stay on this job." It was a terrible job. I'm going to go into detail. But she said, "We cannot stay on this job. If we do, it will diminish our skills. The skills mm-hmm. we do have and we're good at, it will diminish those." She said, "We are not interested in sharpening our weaknesses." I said, "Oh my God, man, you're so profound. You're right. We gotta get out of here."
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm spending all this time working on something. I'm never really gonna be good at this. I'm not good at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me spend my time doing the stuff that I'm good at, that I can excel and be great at. I think people do it on jobs. And then they take it home because mm-hmm. I'm miserable at work. Now, when I get home, I can't find the joy and the happiness that I should there right. either.
Yeah.
And so now it's double fold. It's one big vicious cycle that you're going in. So you get up now. You don't want to go to work. You're sitting in the car crying. I don't want to go in there. But you got to make money. So you go in there. And you're miserable all day. You come home. You're frustrated. Yelling at the kids. Your husband and everybody else is ticking you off.
You're deflating your self-esteem. You're deflating everything about you.
You are diminishing yourself. You have got to find something else. And do it quickly. Quickly. Find something yep. else. And don't feel bad about it either. Oh, you've been here for 15 years. Well, good luck and good riddance. I don't care how long I've been here. I'm not going to stay here another minute. Not another second. Because I'm tired now. I'm tired. Y'all have made my life a living hell. And I'm done. This is where we really, truly have to get to. And I know that it's difficult because we need money, right? Money,
yeah.
We have to support ourselves, support our family, support our situation. But if you're in a job, you make $100,000 a year, but you're miserable, who gives a damn? I mean, you make a good money, but you can't even go on vacation and enjoy yourself. Because
yeah.
they call in Texas and you can't even put the computer down to even enjoy your vacation. Because, yeah. you're making more money, but you're miserable. I would rather make less and be happy at my house.
Yeah, absolutely.
And eat good and, enjoy my life as opposed to the other way around. But I think that's also comes with how we've been taught and trained
mm-hmm.
with everything. And we just have to have a different mindset about it. And I think the millennials have it really good because they will take a job. Listen, goodbye. I'm not doing that.
They don't got time. They're like, I don't got time.
You got 2 years popped out of me. Know that I'm moving on. And they do it with ease and grace and with no, give a shit. They really do. That's where we need to get to in life with certain things. The ability to say no.
Absolutely.
That boundary. All of those things.
Yeah,
we gotta have it. And I used to judge my mother for it because she was a woman of no. She set boundaries. I didn't understand it when I was younger. I was like, why should we say no? I was a yes person, please person. I didn't understand the no. Now that I'm older, I understand it because I tell people, no, sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that for you.
Like, I'm sorry, what color glitter would you like on this no I'm about to give you?
Yeah, because the is no.
No. Not at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I don't like last minute stuff. Don't ask me to do stuff last minute. Mm-mm. I need to plan and set my mind right. Mm-hmm. I'm older now. I got to do that. When I was young, I didn't care. It didn't bother me. But now I'm old.
I'm so with you. I'm so with you. But yeah, I mean, insecurities are, it's a big issue. It's a big issue. And I hope that, I hope that women start, well, men too, because men have their own insecurities, but I hope that women start putting themselves first and assessing themselves so that they can understand their value. They can understand what's important. Those core values are so important to how you navigate your life. And I hope they just take the time to turn off the TV, turn off everything, and just sit with themselves. No distractions, and get to know themselves. It would save a lot of frustration. So any last word?
Yourself. Not just like yourself, love yourself.
Yeah.
Gotta
love you. It can be too. Do it.
Yeah. So any last words, people?
No.
I want to say to all the women who are having insecurities, it's okay, because we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let them diminish whatever they are, diminish who you are. Who you are is important. You were made this way for a purpose and on purpose. So love yourself.
She preaching, y'all. She preaching. All right.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. Just love yourself.
I second that.
Love yourself.
Keep the conversation going. Join the Facebook group Between a Talk and a Hard Place and share your thoughts about this week's episode.